We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Okay, welcome back to the Labatt Studio. This is quarter number four, and it's brought to you by Labatt Blue Citra, a bright hop aroma and a crisp, clean finish. Labatt Blue Citra. Check it out. Don't forget, Penn State fans, you get all of our content on our website, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can download our app, Keystone Sports, from the App Store on your phone. And we are on Spotify. Just look us up, Keystone Sports. All right, Purdue at Penn State, noon kickoff, Beaver Stadium, the 100th homecoming for the Nittany Lions. The Boilermakers are 1-3 overall. They lost to Minnesota last week. Penn State's ranked 11, 12, depending on which poll it is. They are 4-0. The line, I don't know anymore. It just keeps going up.
Four touchdowns and probably moving towards
25 30. 25-28 was what I saw. Penn State's definitely the favorite. A couple quick numbers on Purdue. They're ranked 113th in FBS in total defense, allowing more than 450 yards and 33 points a game. Purdue will face a Penn State defense that's ranked inside the top 15 overall and the number two scoring defense in the country. And, oh, by the way, just one more little tidbit. Purdue's rushing offense is 129th in the country in yards per game at 68.3, and they might not have, they will not have their quarterback, their star wide receiver, their deepest threat wide receiver. So, it starts with who's not playing for the Boilermakers more than anything. Rondale Moore's not going to play.
Yeah. I'm pretty bummed out about that. I actually think Penn State would have preferred that he did play. I know that sounds strange, but, you know, that's a guy that's on the very short list of best wideouts in the country. Yeah. Absolutely deserving of being an All-American last year. I think he wiped the floor with the Ohio State secondary last year in that upset.
Did.
He's a good kid. He took a bad step. Both those guys got hurt on the same play. I mean, I think they probably would have found a way to beat Minnesota if they both play. I don't want to – they got out of hand early, and then they came back. But they've been a little bit snake bit. They dropped. They blew a huge lead to Nevada
right.
in the first game. They're 1-3. I just think things have gone horribly wrong for them. But I wanted to ask you guys one thing real quick before we get to the matchup. So it sounds funny to say, but I've been thinking, considering the way this game might play out, do you guys think that the best thing that could have happened to Penn State after this game is that they had to struggle and be in a tight game against Pittsburgh? Because really, they haven't really had many anxious moments, and they're about to walk into a very, very tough section of their schedule. And I think just being extended by Pittsburgh, I know the fan base is not happy that it was that close, but just being in that kind of situation, do you think, because it doesn't look like it's going to happen against Purdue, it didn't happen against Maryland, do you think that will actually help this team down the road?
I think there's no question being in a close game, and even I would say having to face some adversity against Buffalo, I think there's no question that that helps you and that it fosters a belief as they play Michigan and Iowa and some of these teams that, you know what, no matter what the odds are, we can do it. We can still win. You know, we had the goal line stand against Pitt. Like, we can stop these teams. So I do think that's a positive. I don't know that Franklin would want the Pitt game to have been that close and almost lose it. But you think about it, it's been a good couple of weeks for Penn State in the sense when Pitt beat UCF. That's a feather in Penn State's
struggle
cap.
With Delaware, though.
They struggled mightily with the Delaware Blue Hens.
Yes, they did.
But so I think that is a positive. I don't agree that Penn State wishes Rondale Moore was playing. That guy's a total freak show. Played in the U.S. Army Bowl. He's a difference maker. And if I think some of us thought, I don't know if any of us predicted this would be a loss for them, but I remember before the season saying it wouldn't be easy either. It wouldn't be a cakewalk.
Correct.
It should have been a good test.
They should have been.
And now it should not be a good test. Let's be clear about that. If this ends up being a good test, something went horribly wrong. But, you know, that's a good coach. I know that he's I've heard he's actually been talked about in NFL circles. He helped engineer that upset of Ohio State. They obviously are still trying to get the program where it needs to be. They replaced a pretty good quarterback in that blockhead. Rondale Moore's good. They were always going to have questions on defense, but yeah, you know, this looked like a game in July or August that, hey, you could say if Penn State didn't start fast, it was going to be an exciting game.
So to answer your question, Bob, about the Pitt game helping them, I think to me it looked like what came out of that was Monday through Friday, Penn State attention to what was going on went to another level during the bye week. Like Pitt got their attention of, you saw it for 3 weeks and or 2 weeks, you take out the Idaho game because that doesn't count. It wasn't looking at the level of the talent that they had, and it wasn't as crisp and clean. You know as well as I do, Ross, that goes back to what's happening Monday through Thursday. They had more talent than Pitt. They had more talent than Buffalo. Eventually, that was a difference maker. Maryland was probably the more talented team at spots, I'd say, in positions than Buffalo and Pitt. And it looked like they had 2 weeks where the coaching staff had their full intention and preparation, and that became the new standard. Like, this is the new standard for us on how we practice to prepare.
Well, we'll find out.
We're going to find out.
Especially even against the Purdue game. We'll see. Correct. Do they sleepwalk through it?
Right.
Or do they come out and everybody's telling them how great they are now, getting the pats on the back? Do they feel good about themselves? Do they come out and take care of business? We'll find out. And we'll find out pretty early against Purdue. But this is a game, frankly, when you look at what they have coming up with Michigan, Iowa, Michigan State, they probably could use a game that's
a little bit of a breather.
And hopefully no injuries, hopefully continue to build the depth, because then they're going to need it, because then they're going to like a murderer's row.
Yeah, speaking of Purdue, one row, the quarterback, Elijah Sindelar, he was in the battle for the quarterback position a year ago, and he played some. He's now not going to play. He was off to a good start,
Clavicle,
too. Even though their record is not that great, he was off to a good start. Yeah, go ahead, Ross.
Can I ask a question? Why is it some years Penn State and Ohio State play earlier in the year,
right,
versus other years they play late? Do you know? Anybody know why that happens or how?
I don't know how they make out the schedules in advance like that. But this is, I'm trying to remember the last time they played this. It's the second to last game, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the last time they played that.
I bet you Ohio State doesn't like that.
No.
Penn State,
no.
Michigan back to back.
Don't like it. Yeah.
Penn State, Michigan back to back like that.
Yeah.
We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and white.
There you go.
Blue and light.
That's okay. The guy who was averaging, you know, we know that Moore's one of the best wide receivers in the country. Jarek Sparks was off to a good start for Purdue as well, averaging almost 19 yards a catch. He was a deep threat for them. He won't play as well. They're going to have a freshman and a sophomore splitting time for a running game that can't get going. The new quarterback's going to be Jack Plummer. Good luck with Penn State's defensive ends.
Jake Plummer's pretty good.
Yeah. He's
been in the NFL like 12
Jake
years.
Snake.
And one of the best players on Purdue's defense, Lorenzo Neal, he's still out. Defensive tackle, he's not played, but because he's been recovering from a knee surgery. So there's, you could argue that Purdue's missing probably four or five of their best six or seven players for this game. And it's a formula that Penn State needs to show that they've taken it to another level, not played like they did against in the Pitt game.
Yeah, I mean, this should be a game where the starters should be out midway through the third quarter, and they're not going to play every snap going up through the first half. That's one thing that Penn State's shown. I mean, yeah, Penn State probably could use a breather going into the Iowa game, but they haven't really been taxed all season because of the participation plan and the playtime plan that's in place. I'd be curious to see, you know, what the snaps are through after the Purdue game. Because you remember last year we were looking at the snaps.
Snap counts.
And they had
Robert Windsor had like...
They had Sharif Miller and their best players are playing, you're clocking 65 snaps a game.
Robert Windsor was playing like
85% of the snaps. This team does have a tough October schedule, but they're going to be fresh. I mean, they are going to be fresh, and they're going to catch Iowa I know that we'll talk about it next week. Iowa's got to play Michigan this week in Ann Arbor. And actually, you know, Ohio State and Michigan State play this week as well. Ohio State looks like they're rolling right now.
Oh my gosh.
A little of the Nebraska game, and I grew up as a Nebraska fan, and that was about as bad as it gets. That was not even a physical game.
How does that happen, by the way, growing up in Bethlehem?
I'm a guy that when I grew up, I was a little kid. The first game I saw on TV, I made a choice in every sport. First game I saw on TV was a Cowboys game. They were playing like the Cardinals. Nebraska played Oklahoma. The New York Rangers played the Minneapolis North Stars. The St. Joe's Hawks in basketball were playing LaSalle. In every situation, I picked a team. And I was like 6 years old. And I just stuck with them.
I like that. Interesting. I respect that. Except you live in Pennsylvania.
My dad was a diehard Eagles fan, and I couldn't deal with it. I was like, my mom went to the Dallas side, by the way. That's how great of a mom she was. She had completely abandoned her Eagle roots, and she's from Philadelphia.
Wow.
All right, let's
mom
do some.
Like a traitor.
Let's do some picks and predictions. Any bowl predictions this week? I had Ricky Slade with two touchdowns, one rushing, one receiving last week. I came close, but
I think
not.
Any bowl prediction would be a negative prediction at
yeah,
this point.
Based
I just
on
don't
this
know
game.
How you make one.
So we'll start with you, Bob. What is your call on this game, and what do you expect to happen on Saturday?
I just think that the way that Penn State defense is playing and with their depth, I mean, I think they're going to make a hard run at a shutout. I'm not saying they're going to get it, but you can't run the ball on them. You cannot. One rushing touchdown, 1.9 per rush.
And Purdue's bad.
When they go to the third team linebackers, it's a problem for the other team. So I don't know what Purdue's going to do. I'm going to say 49-7, and that's with them calling the dogs off, Penn State.
Wow. I mean, I know they got a lot of injuries, but they're still a Big Ten team. That would surprise me. I'll go 37-10. Penn State still wins. What's the line, 28?
It's like 28. Yeah.
All right, so I guess I'm saying take the points if I go 37-10, but it feels like about 37-10 to me. I think it's nice that Penn State gets a breather before they play Iowa. They play Iowa next week.
Yeah, Iowa at Iowa.
And it's nice that they play Iowa after Iowa has to play Michigan, as you referenced, Bob. My bold prediction will be that either Dan Chizena or Zach Kuntz will score a touchdown.
Ooh,
nice.
Yes, that's one of my
one
favorites
of those
right
two.
There.
It's a parlay.
I like that.
It's a two-player teaser.
I do not have a bold prediction this week, but I'm going
to
go.
What? That is why people listen to the show.
I'm going to go 45-7 Penn State. I think their offense just has too much firepower for Iowa's defense. All right, that'll do it for the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Ross. For everybody at the Keystone Sports Network, thanks for tuning in and joining us, and enjoy the game.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.